Please turn in your New Testament to the book of 3 John. 3 John is a very short letter. We want to read the first four verses to introduce our lesson. 3 John, verses 1 through 4. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This letter, of course, was written by John the Apostle, and as he began his letter, in these opening verses, John expressed a very special wish on behalf of Gaius. Gaius was a very dear friend of John, and John had a very special wish for him. Now, according to verses 3 and 4, John received a positive report concerning Gaius that brought him great joy. He heard that Gaius was walking in the truth, and that brought John great joy. And in this letter, John let Gaius know that. But the wish that John had for Gaius is revealed in verse 2. John wished that Gaius would prosper and be in good health, even as he prospered spiritually. That's quite a statement to be made about someone. Gaius had things in the proper order. He was concerned about his spiritual welfare. And from this report that John received concerning Gaius, John said, I hope that you will be able to prosper and that your health will be such as can be compared to your spiritual health. That's a wonderful statement to be made about someone. Is there any wonder why John loved this man so dearly? Well, today's bulletin contains an article written by Phil Sanders, who is the spokesman on In Search of the Lord's Way. And that article is about good health. Now, Brother Sanders mentions both physical health as well as spiritual health. We're concerned about both, but we understand that good health, whether it's physical good health or spiritual good health, is not achieved by accident. It requires effort. And to be successful, it helps to have a program to follow. Well, in our lesson, we want to cover a number of passages that reveal a program for good spiritual health. Well, we're concerned about physical health as well as spiritual health, but we understand that spiritual health is the most important. It's not achieved by accident. Gaius enjoyed good spiritual health, and John commended him for that. Gaius did not achieve that by accident, and we won't achieve it by accident either. It helps to have a program, and the Bible reveals in a number of passages an excellent program for achieving good spiritual health. Well, we won't be able to cover every single passage in the Bible that deals with this matter, but we do want to look at several very important principles that are revealed in a number of passages. Let's begin by showing how a program for good spiritual health includes proper diet. Now, we understand when it comes to physical health, diet is very important. Well, we're concerned about spiritual health. And the Bible teaches that a good program for spiritual health includes proper diet. Along those lines, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and read the first three verses. 1 Peter chapter 2 will begin at verse 1. We just concluded a study of this very important letter on Wednesday evening, and Peter reveals some very helpful information concerning spiritual health. But in these verses, he touched specifically on the importance of diet. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And when it comes to diet, there are certain things that must be avoided. And we learn from verse 1 that certain things have to be laid aside. Why? Because they're harmful. Let's look at them again. All malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Did you notice several times Peter used the word all in connection with these various activities? That means get rid of these things. Take it seriously. Don't just get rid of some of it. He said, get rid of all of it. I've always thought it was interesting that he used the word hypocrisies. Not just hypocrisy. There are various forms of hypocrisy. And Peter says, lay aside all of it. Well, these things have to be laid aside because they're harmful. Having done that, verse 2 gives us a positive word of instruction. Having laid aside those things that are harmful, verse 2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Well, to become God's children, we must be born again. And Peter dealt with that earlier in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. He said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, we become God's children by being born again. Jesus explained this new birth in John chapter 3. Verses 3 and 5, he was talking to a man named Nicodemus who came to visit him by night, and he first showed that you can't be a member of the kingdom of God without being born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand. Well, Jesus explained it to him. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This matter of being born again is being born of water and of the Spirit. Well, Peter is writing to people who had been born again. They had been born of water and of the Spirit. And now he says, having become God's children, you must have a proper diet. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word, and the end result is spiritual growth. Well, why is it so important that the Lord wants us to grow? Well, he wants us to grow so that we can mature to the point that we can feast upon solid food. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 and read verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 5, verses 12 and 13. Now, this letter was written to people who are undergoing great trials, and those trials had interfered with their spiritual growth. And the writer had to do some admonishing along those lines. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Well, Peter tells us, having been born again, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that will lead to spiritual growth. The Lord wants us to grow and mature so that we can get to the point where we can feast upon solid food. You know, I think about a little baby. A little baby has to have some milk. But with the process of time, that baby will get to the point where it can begin to eat some solid food. Sometimes I reflect on something that my mother told me years ago. I don't remember it because I was too young. But she said when I was a baby, just a few days old, and after she brought me home, I had my first taste of banana pudding. I can just see my mother putting a little bit on the tip of her finger and putting it to my lips. Now, let me tell you, I've been eating banana pudding all these years, and I've always loved it. Well, that was my first taste of it. Now, did she give me a great big bowl of banana? No, she probably just put a little taste to my lips. Being sweet, I probably reacted to it in a good way. Well, we give babies milk because they have to have it. But with the passing of time, the child grows and is able to eat some more solid food. And then when the child is full grown, he's able to eat a very solid diet. Well, the Lord wants us to grow so that we can get to the point that we can feast on strong meat. But you know, we have to develop a desire for a proper diet. We have to acquire a desire for a proper diet. Well, what is the diet that we're to pursue? Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word. We have to develop a desire for God's word. There are some things that will help us to develop that desire. For one thing, we need to understand, we need to realize what the Bible is. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read verse 16. This verse says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. When we feast upon the milk of the word, we're actually feasting upon something that has come from God. Now that ought to give us an idea of how special the Bible is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book here that we're to desire is a gift from God. It didn't come from man. Oh, God used men in recording it. But this book was given by God's inspiration. The inspiration process is explained in several passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible teaches that there were certain things in God's mind that he communicated to us. We needed to know what those things were, but on our own, we had no way of knowing those things. So God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit revealed these things to certain inspired writers who wrote those things down. They've been preserved. They've been translated. We can read them, and we can know things from the mind of God. That's amazing to me. When we study Scripture, we are reading information that has come from the mind of God. I believe we need to realize that. That will help us to develop or acquire a desire for the sincere milk of the Word. Well, we need to realize how we benefit from Scripture. Now, these are things that will help us to develop a desire for the Scriptures. We need to realize that not only has God given us the Scriptures, but he's given them to us for our benefit. Let's continue at the same verse, verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. In other words, God gave it to us for our benefit. And he mentions four ways in which we're able to benefit from Scripture. Profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof. Our ways which are not right are pointed out to us. For correction, God not only rebukes us, but he wants to restore us to an upright condition. And then the scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. We learn how to live so that we can be pleasing in God's sight. The end result is that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Well, to help us to desire or to develop a desire for the sincere milk of the Word, we need to realize what the Bible is. It is the inspired Word of God. We also need to realize that God has given us the Scriptures for our benefit. Now, why do we tell little children to eat their vegetables and certain things that maybe they don't really want to eat? We tell them it's good for them. It will help them to grow up to be strong. When I think about that, I can't help but think about my brother's little boy. He was just a very small fella. Now he's taller than I am, but at the time he was just a small fella. Because my brother's a fairly small man, not nearly as big as I am. But I can remember over and over again, that little boy's parents would tell him to eat certain things because he would grow up to be big like Uncle Raymond. When that kid's mind, he must have thought that I was just huge, you know, and I was pretty good size back then, a lot bigger than I am now. Well, one day, that little boy came up to me and he said, "Uncle Raymond," I could tell he had this expression on his face where he was really wanting to know something serious. And for a moment I thought, oh boy, what's this going to be about? He said, "Uncle Raymond, was Goliath as big as you are?" Well, in his mind, I must have been just the largest man around, you know. I said, "No, son." I said, "Goliath was about 10 feet tall." He said, "Wow, he was big, wasn't he?" I said, "That's right." Well, the point is, his parents, my brother and his wife, would tell that little boy to eat certain things because it would help him to grow up and be big like Uncle Raymond. Well, I don't know if it worked or not, but we try things like that to get kids to develop a desire for certain things that they may not just naturally want to eat. We understand that they are good for us. They contain vitamins and so forth that will help us. Well, there is great benefit from Scripture. God not only has inspired His Word, but He gave it to us so that we can benefit from it. We have to realize that to develop a desire for it so that we'll spend time reading and studying it and meditating upon it. Well, something else that will help us is to realize that the Bible describes itself as being sweet. Look at Psalm 119 and let's read verse 103. Psalm 119 and verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." There are a number of illustrations used in the Bible to describe how sweet it is. I have been told that the last taste to leave us is the desire for sweetness. I believe that's right, because after my mother had pretty much lost her appetite, she could eat a little piece of a Snickers bar. I've always wondered why I love them so. I guess I got it from her. And we were told that the desire for sweetness is the last part of the taste to leave us. Well, maybe you've had a similar experience, but notice how the Bible describes itself. God's word is sweet. Now, God's word also points out our ways that are not pleasing unto God. But rather than just overlook those scriptures or pretend like they don't belong in the Bible or just ignore them, we need to realize that they were given for our benefit. And if we truly realize how sweet scripture is, we'll have a desire for it. Well, Peter says that good spiritual health includes a proper diet. And we have to desire the sincere milk of the word. When we learn what God's word is, it's given by his inspiration, when we realize that he gave it to us for our benefit, and when we realize how sweet it is, well, we'll develop a desire for it. Let's talk about the Lord for just a moment before we go on. Look at John chapter 4, and let's read verse 34. In this verse, Jesus revealed his diet. This is what provided him with nourishment, and this is what sustained him. John 4 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, or my food, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now that was the Lord's diet. His diet was doing the will of the Father and finishing his work. Well, a program for good spiritual health includes proper diet. We have to spend some time studying Scripture, reading Scripture, and meditating upon the Scriptures. The end result is that we'll be able to grow. But there's something else we need to talk about. The Bible teaches that a program for good spiritual health also includes regular exercise. Diet's important, but so is exercise. Let's consider something that involved the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and let's read verse 16. Acts 24 and verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now Paul was speaking before Felix, and as he did so, he mentioned his exercise plan. He wanted to always maintain a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Now that requires great effort. It's not achieved by accident. But Paul's exercise plan was to always maintain a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Now, to accomplish that, Paul avoided activities that were harmful, and then he was devoted to doing those activities that are described as being good, those which are helpful, those which are beneficial. This was Paul's exercise plan. I think it's a good one for us to adopt. He was striving to always maintain a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Now that sort of sounds to me like the first and second commandment. Jesus was asked to identify the first and great commandment, and he said to love God with all the heart, soul, and mind. That is to strive to have a clear conscience toward God. But then the Lord gave that lawyer something else. He said, the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, to love your neighbor involves seeking what is best for the other person in all situations. In other words, striving to maintain a clear conscience. Well, that was Paul's exercise plan, and he mentioned that. Now, he's standing before Governor Felix, making a defense. Felix was not a godly man. But Paul expressed to Felix what was really important concerning his attitude toward exercise. This is spiritual exercise. He said, I strive to always maintain a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Well, in order to accomplish that, and that's not accomplished by accident. It requires great effort. But to accomplish that, Paul avoided activities that are harmful, and he also was devoted to doing activities that are good. Let's also look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start at verse 7. Now we're looking at verses that deal with a program for exercise to have good spiritual health. 1 Timothy 4, starting at verse 7. Now keep in mind that Timothy was an evangelist. He was a very close friend of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote two letters to him, and in those letters, Paul taught him about his own personal conduct as well as things he was responsible for teaching. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy 4. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, I want you to notice that Paul mentions things such as profane and old wives' fables. These are things that are to be avoided. You see, they do not produce positive results. I think I mentioned this to you one time, but it's been a while. I was having a conversation with one of my neighbors one time, and she knows that I'm a preacher, and she said, I want to ask you a question. She said, will cats go to heaven when they die? Well, I thought for a moment. I said, well, the Bible teaches me to avoid foolish questions. She laughed and laughed and laughed. She said, well, that's a good answer. She said, where is that in the Bible? I said, well, read 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. I said, you'll find that statement made to both men. She said, well, I'll have to look that up. Well, there are certain things that are to be avoided because they don't produce helpful results. When it comes to good spiritual health, things that would harm us must be avoided. And Paul understood that. But then on the positive side, we're to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Doing those things that are pleasing in God's sight. Now, Paul does make a comparison between physical exercise and godliness. There is some profit to physical exercise. Everyone understands that. But it's limited to this life. Godliness is profitable unto all things. It helps to prepare us for the life to come. Let's also consider Hebrews 5 and verse 14. We've already read verses 12 and 13, which show us that the Lord wants his people to reach the point that we can feast upon solid meat. But let's read this verse. Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Solid meat is for those who have grown and matured. And to grow and mature as the Lord desires, we must have our senses exercised to be able to discern good and evil. You know, there's a difference between right and wrong. I know that's not very popular today. Some people don't like for you to show from the Bible that certain things are wrong and certain things are right. God is the standard of right and wrong, not man, not opinion, not experience. God's word determines what's right and what is wrong. And we need to understand that. Many people don't believe that today. But we have to have our senses exercised so that we can get to the point to discern between good and evil. The prophet Isaiah talked about those who would call good evil and evil good, and he said, "Woe unto them." That's been a problem for a long time, even among God's people. We have to understand what is right and be devoted to doing that. We also have to understand what is wrong, and we need to avoid that. And that's not popular today, but you know what's popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular. But right is still right. Well, we have to be able to discern good and evil. It's not left up to the individual and individual opinion and feelings. God's word determines what is right. And when we have the proper diet of desiring the sincere milk of the word, we'll know what's right and we'll know what's wrong. Then, to have good spiritual health, we can be devoted to doing that which is right and avoiding that which is wrong. In closing, let's look at a request made by David in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, let's read verses 23 and 24. This is a closing request that David made at the conclusion of this very beautiful psalm. Throughout this psalm, David showed over and over again how well God knew him. And his conclusion was that there was nowhere he could go to escape the presence of God. He said God even knew him when he was in his mama's womb. And he'd known him throughout all of his life. And since God knew him so well and was so familiar with him, David made this closing request. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's a request by David, who was very concerned about his spiritual health. He wanted to be in good standing with God. He wanted his spiritual health to have God's approval. So he made this request. Now, was David perfect? No, he was far from perfect. He made some grievous errors. But the Bible identifies him as a man after God's own heart. When his wicked ways were pointed out to him, he confessed them and he wanted to be forgiven. Spiritually speaking, and this is what we all need to ask ourselves, what kind of diet do we have? Now, I must confess, when it comes to physical health, I don't have the best diet in the world. I eat some things that I ought to leave off. Well, that's important, but what's most important is spiritual health. What kind of diet do you have that relates to your spiritual health? Furthermore, what kind of exercise do we get? I remember years ago, Teresa's dad's doctor talked to him. He had a serious heart attack back in 1974. I remember it very well. And his doctor told him that he would be lucky if he lived 5 years. Well, he died about 20 years ago. He went far beyond the 5 years. Now, Teresa's dad did not always heed this, as he should have. But his doctor told him. He said, "Bill, you need to get some regular exercise." He said, "I can't guarantee you that it's going to make you live any longer." But he said, "You'll feel better." And the doctor was very straight in talking to him about that. Well, Bill struggled with that, and perhaps we all do from time to time. But spiritual exercise is what's really important. And we've looked at a number of passages that explain what's involved in spiritual exercise. Well, with the Lord's help, we can do the things that we've studied today, and they will help us to have good spiritual health. That's what's really important. It'll be a blessing to us while we live this life, and it will prepare us for the life to come.